Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
live Yacht Ross Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yacht Ross Radio, Yacht Ross Ministry. I'll be your host by name, your seer, Israel, O.C. Roy. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, Tribe of Yahdah, Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries from the Bible. We unlocking the mysteries, Israel. Unlocking the mysteries. This is part number 13. Who doing it? The six anointed camps of bosses of the true Israelite. Who featuring it? Bosses of the true Israelite. So we unlocking the Israel, the six anointed camps of bosses of the true Israelite. We gonna lay it out, okay, in advance. We gonna lay it out for you and put everybody in perspective. It's up to you to do whatever come to be done. Got it? Good. Let's throw it out on the international side and see who all join us for part number 13. I'm always excited to come before you, see Royals, because of one thing about it. Six anointed camps. Got a big job ahead of you. Big job is making sure you prepare to get in where you fit in, meet them where they at, lose the bump the gum contest, and just they come up on some air. Just say, take a look at this right here. What do it sound like? What do this sound like? That's it. All right, good enough. So remember, we a very important book that we mentioned yesterday. You probably mentioned a little bit later about this book. That is a very important history book. It gives the details of the children of Israel coming out, going into captivity, and the kings have taken them to them in this Missing Link book. I got to find my notes again on this book. This book is very important because, see, here's the point. It was written in Assyrian tongue. It was written in the Babylonian tongue, and it was written also in the Persian tongue. It was translated after they got it to the British Museum into the English tongue. So when you're looking for traces of the children of Israel, you're going to run into it that when you got into captivity, you weren't called by the powers to be the children of Israel. They couldn't leave you intact. So no, they ain't leave you intact, see, right? You have to stumble up on your name again, and that's what Paul was saying to tell you about your name in Romans chapter 1:5-8. Now you lost your identity. You lost your name. They was calling you by every name. And so once you was in the captivity, as time went unfold, your name became the Scipians. It became Qumran. It became about 10 different names. And the only one that basically stayed intact and knew his name was Zorro, that left and went into the northern world. He knew his name. He knew he was from the tribe of Judah. But the ones that went into captivity from Perez's side, they lost their identity. That's why you got called by so many names. So you want to fulfill the prophecy in the 37th chapter, 28-37 of the book called Deuteronomy. You fulfill that, you lost your name. But one Judah never lost his name. Perez kept, he understood that he was a king seed and he played his role. And how you identify Perez, when you start looking over there in Great Britain, in London, and you start looking over there in the northern world, you see anything like a red cloth, red hand, all that red lions, that's talking about Zorah, the Israelite Judah. See, they never lost their identity. The ones out Perez lost their identity. See, matter of fact, Perez took advantage of it because they knew that you didn't know who you were. So you the one was called African American Negroes and from Africa. Not the ones and you meet the brothers that was over there in Europe, which we're gonna find out that that it was brothers over there in Europe by showing you that what these scientists and anthropologists all said. They made up a final statement. You might read that tonight, lesson two. They let you know that you was over in Europe and Zorro was over in Europe, was Japhetic land, but he knew about you, Perez, because he's the one, him and his sons is the one that knew about you. So when you got the right hundred together, the right timeline, you're going to find out that slavery was started from Zora on your back. Slavery was started by Zora, a tribe of Yagda, the son of Judah, the grandson of Isaac. The grandson of Abraham. He beat your back too. He beat your back real good. Let me tell you something, Steve Ray. By the time that Esau got on your back in America, and then another thing that got to be brought out. Do you know that the children of Israel, so many, and they went into captivity over 100 million. When they went into other lands, what did they do? Same thing happened when back in the days when you couldn't, when was no job for you, nothing for you to do, you would join what? The Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, right? What do you think the children of Israel did when they got taken out their land, Northern Kingdom? What do you think they did? Southern Kingdom? Now I'm gonna take out there. What did they do? They became missionaries, see, right? They became for hire for whatever group it is, whatever group that want they are to, for they can live and eat another meal. They join into every army that had a battle. So when you look at how the Buffalo Soldiers, what they do. They said, look here, you can give us 40 acres and a mule, and we can give us our freedom, and what we got to do, we got to do some killing for you. It's all about it. We in bad shape. So you know what the Buffalo Soldiers did? They joined in with the President, Andrew Jackson, and they said, look here, y'all between you, since you look like them, talk and walk like them, y'all going over there, and I get the glory for it. But y'all going over there, start running down, and the Buffalo Soldiers, they was Israelite, right? What they do? They don't want coke gas. They don't want beat you heads up. But the other nation's taking the credit for it. But you got beat up by your own people. When Hernan Cortez came over here, Christopher Columbus came over here, you know that ship called the Nino? That is one of the mercenaries' name, because they know you, because they are you, but they was mercenaries. See, the smoking gun of it is that your people, the children of Israel, have always been mercenaries. They will get into any battle. It is for survival. And see, and that's why you, okay, what is some of the biggest fights that you can get your hand into. Somebody look like you, right? On like for a case in point. You see what happened with the brother on the basketball game a couple of nights ago or whatever, the highlights all over the place. He messed around and got an elbow to his head and all of a sudden a little blood showed up and he lost his mind. But who was he wanting to whoop? He was wanting to whoop, or at least act like he wanted to whoop somebody that looked just like him. And see, that's what it is. Sometimes you wonder why a person looks just like you, and he's just so contrary to you. See, that's why I said we got to bring out everything. That's why we tell you, listen, and a non-company keeper. If you continue to keep company with a non-company people, you're always going to run into this kind of problem. But when you start keeping company with a covenant keeper, then you know what you're working with, because that will restrain them from being, you know, a spy. Because right now, Zora, tribe of Yahzah Judah, right? Same father, Judah. The difference is in him is his logo of the red three. He know his history. So if he moves his red thread from you, looking just like you, you're going to drop your guard down, right? And that's why we get had every time. Remember, you always get taken down by somebody that looks just like you. You can't figure it out. Because you got two types of people, a covenant keeper and a non-covenant keeper. So if you find somebody that's keeping the covenant, then you got a better chance on making things work than a non-covenant keeper. Because the non-covenant keeper, that's the one that they look for to take you down. Because they know they're going to come out of Perez is the deliverer, not Zora. Although Zora is the one that sent for 54 scholars to go to his brother, Perez, and to get that book. So they had to come clean. They had to go get that book. They said, look here, well, see, King James did that. He said, well, we know one thing. We know the truth is, but we from Perez, and what we going to do, and the ones over there, they don't know who they are, period. The one is called African-American, Negro in color. But I know who they are. See, we left intact. You didn't go intact. Remember, Zora, he went to rule. He become king. He knew he was a king. You became a perpetual servitude. Do you know the timeline on the kings that when that decree went out? Who was in charge at that time? Remember, Zora has been in power since 1198 on record, but way before that. So remember, when it was time to take you down, what do you think Zora did? Zora was the one in king. You think the king that got in contact with somebody look like them? Nah, somebody look just like you. That's why you got to know your timeline. You got to know the dates. You got to know the situation. You got to know it's two twin sons, one bleed that one stole something from him. Oh, I can go on and on. You look up the 13 black colonies, and they tell you about your founding fathers is Benjamin Franklin and Washington. That's not true. Your founding fathers come from the 13 black colonies that were set up by the Stuart family. He sent five of his big dignitaries over here, and they set up everything. And some slavery. By the time, and what happened, you know what happened with Esau? See, Esau always has been in the background. He know he can get up to you. And we're going to bring it out to Thomas Cromwell. Now, when you look up Thomas Cromwell, he's a whole lot of stuff you got to do, C. Ray, to really start seeing this thing unfold itself, like you said, and be filled of the Holy Ghost the right way. We're going to get to that. So we're going to leave that like it is. So you got my, you got me on saying, I don't know what spirit got on me saying what I did. I don't know why. But that's the way it is, Cedar. We don't know what we why we say what we say. But to tell you one thing, it's more information you got to be able to receive. And remember what we said again. It's two types of people. A covenant keeper and a non-covenant keeper. The one that do not keep the covenant, something to say or do anything. They can be the one that deliver you up himself. Oh, wow. Why would you deliver me up? Well, you knew I wasn't keeping the covenant. Oh, well, I was told that. See, you get more leeway with a covenant keeper than a non-covenant keeper. Because remember, Zora taught his sons that you, Perez, taking his blessing. But since he knew he was the king, he knew he was qualified to go anywhere and be king because he knew he was a king. So when you start saying about the pyramids built over there in Gepatic land called Europe, and you're going to find out a little bit more about the Europe, who really was that come from, you're going to start really unlocking this thing. That's why the boss of the two of his life will be the six anointed camp that can unlock this thing and put it right before your lap. To unravel the mystery. That's what the series is about. Unlocking the biblical mysteries of the Bible. We'll leave it like that. So we'll leave it like that. We'll look on the international side and see you all join us in the Synopsis Field, 195 international countries. I see that part. And what's flashing out in New York? 112-614. 112-614. Don't you know you got, when you said WCC, how many is pro voices of a Jewish life? Out of 112-614, I can't answer right now because if I answer, I'd be guessing. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. We'll find out as the series unfold. We're going to bring our elder in and hold it to that WCC to answer that question. How many I believe it? Well, How many is covenant keepers? That's the key. How many is covenant keepers? That's who is pro B-O-T-T-Y. They're covenant keepers. The non-covenant keepers can't be pro B-O-T-T-Y. Voice of a Jewish life. I don't believe it like that. We're going to talk pretty good. So, remember one thing. We're back on all this week. So, listen. What's the day? Wednesday. We're going to be back on that way Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So what? So what I got me 20-something minutes in? Probably the OL might take in about 15, 20 minutes. That give me more chance to read some more of these memos coming in. I'm tell you something. If you got too much information, Steve, right here, that you need to know, I'm thinking you full of the Holy Ghost. You ain't full of the Holy Ghost because you recognize the signs of the time. And the time is now to get in where you fit in up under the six anointed camps of voices of the Jewish life. That's keep it done. So when you meet the elder, meet our elder, with a loud voice you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah bless you, see right.
And Yahuwah bless you, see as well, to see well. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
I was looking at a lot of these paperwork and stuff like this, and all this good stuff. And it's a very important book that needs to be got. Maybe, like I say, you go on that PD, what you call it, PDF or BE, whatever you call it. It's called A Missing Link Discovery in the Assyrian Tablets by E. Raymond Capp. Now, E. Raymond Capp, he was able to, you know, hustle. He got a chance to get up into and they are historians, and they got chance to get 200-300 tablets. They didn't understand the language. They took it back to the British Museum, and then they had one out of the Persian Empire, one of the big generals there. He was able to recycle. He was able to interpret the writings of the Syrian tongue, the Persian tongue, and the Babylonian tongue. So he say. So they taught some good stuff. So in this book right here, it gives you the breakdown where the 10 tribes went to, but they didn't go up under the name of what we call it today. And that's why we can't find them. You can't find them because you're looking for them up on all the children of Israel. Yeah, some of them was called children of Israel, but the majority of them lost their name, their identity. And in this book, I'm gonna give you the breakdown on the name they was up under, where they was planted at. But we can go right in the Bible and put the hammer on that from the Bible. Maybe they did the same thing too. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm gonna be quiet for until you let the mass noise know who bring this message to. But it's just so much information that to be put on the table. So I'm just going to pause for the calls and let you know there's 195 international countries. Everybody got a representative in. 112612 is flashing on the international side. So what do you got to say behind my mouth, fool? You on the clock. Mr. Tibbs, come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel, and thank you for bringing me once again into tonight's broadcast. Well, we'll see what we can do later on that research for E. Raymond Kapp. But before we do that, we'd like to welcome and thank all the people that came to listen to our broadcast, the 112,612 listeners that came to hear the words of Yahweh. Well, we were talking a little bit on the subject that we're probably going to recap on today. But before I get into that, something to think about. Each and every time we study something in history, we have to find out it pertains with a lot of fighting, shooting, or bombs blowing up somewhere. We create a celebration about it. You know, we did a commentary on Independence Day. For those of who that are familiar with Independence Day, think about what the independence was for and who it was for. Was it for the black slaves? Well, go through the history. We might recap on that again probably in the next few days. But there was a lot of shooting. John Paul Revere, he was in there, let everybody know the British was coming. And what happens? We celebrate that once a year, Independence Day. You got to look into that and find out what you're celebrating. Also, the song that they used to teach in school, the Star Spangled Banner, the proud song where, you know, this is not to turn everybody against the U.S., but it's to get you to think about some of the things that I mentioned. Everything is about some shooting, some killing, and a celebration. Look at some of the words in the Star Spangled Banner. Well, they want to know by the dawn's early light that they so proudly held, they saw the flag flickering and gleaming. And each time the red rockets blew up in the air and the bombs was exploding, that gave them proof that the flag was still there because they could see that flag flying with all the light from the bombs and stuff that was flashing. And this was mentioning how proud they were that the flag was flying. Well, I can imagine during wartime, you know, even myself, I feel proud about the flag we fought for. Everybody had their flag during that time. But, you know, making songs about it. How about the killing? Okay, let's look at that. We're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving in the next day or so. Everybody gets their slice of turkey, cranberry sauce, and other stuff. But when did Thanksgiving come about? Nobody heard anything about any thing like bombs blowing up in the air or anything like that, no? Let's take a look at that a little more. Let's see what happened. The real story of Thanksgiving, what really happened behind that. Why we got this name of Thanksgiving? We look for it in the Bible. You can find it, of course. Maybe 25, maybe 30 different times you can find Thanksgiving. But it always refers to something else, mainly about the word, being thankful. Most of us associate the holiday with happy pilgrims and Indians sitting down to a big feast. And they did so once, as I mentioned the other day. Yeah, they sat down and had a feast with the pilgrims. This story began back in 1614, when a band of English explorers sailed home to England with a ship full of Pollock's Indians bound for slavery. They left behind smallpox. You know, I know you heard about that. They tried to wipe the Indians out with smallpox. But those that escaped, by the time the pilgrims had arrived in Massachusetts, they found only one living Pollock's Indian, only one, a man named Squanto, who had survived slavery in England, and he knew their language. What he did, Mr. Squanto, he taught them how to grow corn and to fish to learn how to survive, and negotiated a peace treaty between the pilgrims and the Wampanoag Nation. At the end of their first year, the pilgrims held a great feast, a feast honoring Squanto and the Wampanoag Indians. Oh, that was a big feast, as you can imagine. But as the word spread in England about the paradise to be found in the New World, and you know what a New World I'm referring to, that's our world now, religious zealots called Puritans began to arrive by the boatloads, finding no fences around the land. You know, what was fences need for? It was a free country. They considered it to be in public domain. Joined by other British settlers, they seized land, capturing strong young natives for slaves and killing the rest. Don't that sound familiar? Sounds like the South, don't it? But the Pollock Nation had not agreed to the peace treaty Squanto had negotiated, and they fought back. The Pollock War was one of the bloodiest Indian wars ever fought. In 1637, near the present-day Gordon, Connecticut, over 700 men, women, and children of the Pollock tribe had gathered for their annual Green Corn Festival, which is now our Thanksgiving celebration today. In the pre-dawn hours, the sleeping Indians were surrounded by the English and Dutch mercenaries who ordered them to come outside. They were afraid to come out. Those who came out were shot or clubbed to death, while the terrified women and children who huddled inside the longhouse were burned alive. The next day, the governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony declared a day of Thanksgiving. I guess is this just the time we celebrate now? Because 700 unarmed men, women, and children had been murdered. Cheered by their victory, the brave colonists and their Indian allies attacked village after village. Women and children over 14 were sold into slavery, while the rest were murdered. Boats loaded with as many as 500 slaves regularly left the port of New England. Bounties were paid for Indian scalps. I know you remember the old movies on television where these descendants of Esau were called cowboys. They would run out and be proud to wear Indian scalps on their boat. This is what happens. Bounties were paid for entering scalps, Indian scalps, to be encouraged as many deaths as possible. Following an especially successful raid against the Pollock, which is now Stamford, Connecticut, the churches announced a second day of Thanksgiving to celebrate the victory over what they called the heathen savages that they now call Indians today. During the feast, hacked off heads of the natives. They hacked the heads off, and they were kicked through the streets like soccer balls. This used to be a famous game over in England. They used to kick the heads round like soccer balls. Even the friendly Wampanoags did not escape the madness. Their chief was beheaded, and his head was impaled on a pole in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where it remained on display for 24 years. Can you imagine that? The killings became more and more fraternized, with days of Thanksgiving feast being held after each successful massacre. Now, here's a familiar name. George Washington finally suggested that only one day of Thanksgiving per year be set aside instead of celebrating each and every massacre. Later, Abraham Lincoln decreed Thanksgiving to be a legal national holiday. Imagine that. During the Civil War, on the same day he ordered troops to march against the starving Sioux in Minnesota. Well, I don't think this story has such quite the same frenzy feeling associated with it as one where the Indian and pilgrims were all sitting around together at a big feast. But we need to learn our true history so it won't ever be repeated. So this Thanksgiving, when you gather together with your loved ones to thank Yahweh for all your blessings, think about those people that only wanted to live their lives and raise their families. They also took time to say, thank you, Yahweh, for their creator and their blessings. And they were slaughtered. So that's the real story behind Thanksgiving. And to encourage you, you can find this also, those people who do research on your computers or cell phones. You can readily find that Thanksgiving massacre on your smartphones or your computers. So you will know that which was not announced. Well, I suppose I may not be a wit behind the very chief apostles in explaining myself, like it says in 2 Corinthians 11:5. But I might be rude in speech, yet, but not in knowledge. I try to get the information out there that said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. But we have to realize the route that we're going. The entrance is so narrow for righteousness, as described in 2 Esther chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8. Let's see what that says. 2 Esther chapter 7. Verse 7 and 8, verse 7 says, the entrance therefore is narrow and set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right hand and on the left deep water. 8, and only one path between them both. Even the fire and the water was so small there could only be one man go there at once. Well, this way to salvation is not a wide road, and we have to get there one at a time. And knowing this, we realize that a teacher can't learn from the students. The teacher is the one that knows everything and asks the students to do a little research to get, you know, smart themselves. Bring your research back to the teacher. Let's see what you got here so we can announce it to everybody in class so we can have the same knowledge. This way, the teacher gains experience by teaching. Now, a student can learn from a good teacher, possibly learning to do the same thing themselves one day, as we do in all the six camps of Yahweh's ministry. Because each and every one of us that came to hear things in this program that most of us can hear, and some listening never understand, but that's without proper teaching. We provide the proper teaching of Yahweh's word and identifying what it says through scripture. We know that a lot of people see things in the Bible that some looking can never find. As I mentioned before, we have some people who have trouble finding the first book in the Bible, Genesis, till we show them where to look. This also comes from proper teaching. So we have to be aware, by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we're given the knowledge to know that those out there, they camouflage their evil or confused teachings, and we hear this every day. An overly loud bump the gums contest for righteous learning, even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons. Had this happen to me before by a gentleman that I usually refer to as an alien researcher, using the Bible scriptures to say that there's actually aliens out there. I guess what he does, he comes to me and he says, well, can you give me an answer about this one scripture, Mr. Tibbs? So He looks to see if he can prove me wrong, as you might run into yourself. Then this Bible that I read has to be wrong, too, if he proved me. But not such, because I use the Bible to support the Bible. As we know, the Bible's used for reproof, for correction, and righteousness. So when you stay within Yahuwah's word, you're going to be standing pretty strong. This is why we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry that's open to you live, as always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. How can we get that much information out this one book? It comes from connecting the books of Yahuwah's word, even about your health and foods that you should eat and keeping the Sabbath days. All this comes from this one book. Because you have not. This is information that you all came to seek. And now you found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yada. It's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Generally not having a class on Tuesday unless you have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of Sabbath is Friday. Current time starting at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part is Saturday. We have a temple class starts at 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. You can use this on any one of your smart devices on a search one. Enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click under, you're going to see a big line. And under that line, you're going to see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people, give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8 and verse 9. This to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also for building a school, banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. That's a good thing to do. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the feast days we talk about often that comes to us throughout the year. We have a live program also. For this feature, it's only available during live broadcast time. To get there, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Click the red live button as soon as this appears. It'll put you right into our live online broadcast. We also have a couple of email addresses for the listening members to use. The first is Tribe. That's tribeyhdh@gmail.com. For writing your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject answered, or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. Now, we have a few numbers you can also call with Yahuwah in mind. The first would be our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call, leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 69 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of our program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. To do this, in the three words, once again, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, choose the program that you have missed or late logging into, or actually any previous day that you would like to listen. Another good note. Now doing the normal Broad Talk broadcast, Yakwa's story will continue on Pal Talk. We're simultaneously transmitting Pal Talk, the program of Broad Talk on Pal Talk. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. You will look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Gada. You will find this is where Yakwa's word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer. The online topics that we got on the table will be Elder Mr. Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, Riding Shotgun. No comments will be taken off topics or more than two text questions answered at a time. And failure to follow the Righteous Act, the Elder will just block or restrict the misuse. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, teaching will continue on Pal Talk. Doc, I'll be with you all. But remember, when you're trying to keep the scriptures in mind, don't try to win at bump the gums contests. Have big ears and little mouth. You will miss all the Yahweh's glory which is said unto you. You have to remember, we're rehearsing the righteous act to learn Yahweh's words. So at this particular time, so our learning process can continue, keep your King James Bibles open. Take notes if possible. We have to cover a lot of material in a three-hour program. Pass our program back to our Seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
That's right, Hallelujah, Yahuwah. You know, it's tons of information. You know, it reminds me of what Abraham said to his right-hand man, Eliezer. The one, the Jewish man. He said, Eliezer, in the 23rd chapter, verse 47 of the book of Jasher, he said, my right-hand man, what you say? I don't see nothing but mountains. Mm-hmm. He said, my son, the Quran man to be, because, you know, he was able to call things as though they was not as though they were. He said, your son's going to be the Quran man. What you say? I don't see nothing. He's my boy Isaac. What you see? He said, I see a big black man with big black feet sit in a cloud, just ran in a cloud and his big black feet is hanging out of it. He said, okay, you see that? He said, guess what? I see the same thing you see. You see a big black man with some big black feet hanging out of the cloud. Then I know one thing, you've been accepted by Yahuwah. You see that? So that's the same thing. We watch the best of them, see? See, Ray, you watch the best of them, and we know when you're ready. When you're ready, you're going to put a spirit on you. And that spirit going to be put on you, and you're going to be going to know, what can I do to get in, and I need me some more. You put that spirit on you, see, Ray, that you start seeing this thing unfold. Like I tell a WCC and a lot of international big professors, that's where you know sooner or later we're gonna come and deliver you up. You know it's written, right? We're gonna deliver you up. But we're not gonna deliver you up now because we're not ready now. We know when you're ready. When you start seeing them precepts in them Bibles and ask you a question when you mention about the children of Israel, especially the lead tribe, and when somebody said to you, which one? You say, what? Which one are you talking about? One never went in, never in the heydays was in captivity for one word. Which one is that? See, now they lost. See, Ray, and that's the point we make. And then we're gonna find out some information along the way that what causes your trouble with the same mercenaries that look just like you. Oh, that's what I'm saying for us. Well, we're going to leave that like it is. We're just going to see which way this mess will go in the Wednesday night broadcast. So y'all probably be with you all. We're going to bring in Brother Yahdai Israel. We're just going to get something going on. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is right here. All this information, it got to come out. It got to come out. But you got to connect. Everything got to be connected. We got to paint the picture where it's so plain that when you read your Bible the right way, it's like watching that a movie. You say, oh, that's a pretty good movie I'm watching. But you got to watch, this Bible got to be like a movie to you. But it's the spirit of Yahweh, it got to be upon you to make it happen. So we'll leave it like it is when you meet your brother with a loud voice. You say, Brother Yahdai Israel, Yahweh be to that seed royal.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, a seed royal. Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. What part you want to add to you heard a whole lot of jibber-jabbing going on for the last hour there, Brother Yahdai Israel. We do you want to get in there and lay a little something down there before we get going there on Brother Yahdai Israel?
No, sir. All is well.
All is well. All is well. But like I said again, see, the world is going to get stung like the cat. Stung the mouse. He knew the mouse couldn't get back up until he couldn't get back until where he wanted to get to. He got him out there wide open. And I'm telling you something, the world is wide open now. And we got to go on to live them up in grand style. So how about a little Luke chapter 12, verse 12, Brother Yahdai Israel, let's see if we get something going on.
Book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought. And that's a great thing. And matter of fact, I want to read something here, Brother Yahdai, before we get going. Because we're talking about a historian that was in the days of the Roman Empire. And his name is, we know it's Cornelius Tacticus. His name is Publius, first name. Second name is Corneleius. Last name is Tacitus. He was the senior historian from 56 A.D. to 120 A.D. So he was right in the heart of things. He was around when Paul and them was around. Stuff that Paul was doing, this guy was around to see that. And something he said, and who picked this up? It was a book that was written in 1920. And this was his name is Eoinmacneil. He's a Irishman, scholar, historian, and he's a minister. But he wrote something on page 62 in 1920. He wrote something saying a profound statement in 19 in his book. And his book is called PHASES of the Irish History. And this professor he's in the university at the time, in National University of Ireland. So he was the big wig. But something he wrote on page 62 of his book, he says, the British people. He says the British, the Spain people, Spaniards, he says all the peoples of Northern Europe was dark complexion peoples. He said the ancient Iberian were the Celts, or Celtics, we call like, talk about Boston Celtics. The Iberian, you know what the word Iberian mean, right? It's only a watered down word for the word Hebrew, coming to Eber. So you see the word called, go on your map and you find a word called Iberia. When you keep running that word down, you will run into Hebrew, and that's what it was. Hebrew peoples, but Hebrew come from the word called Eber. That's the number one name there, Eber. He was over there in ancient times, and he kept that written in his book. So, you know, if you pull up the book of this big historian, he was 56 A.D., and he lived to be about, and he was around 120 A.D. by the time he died. He's a senior historian. He wrote about you, Cereo. He wrote about you. He got it in his book. And over there in the British Museum, everybody know about you. See, everybody know about you. And once you start connecting his books, and this Irish man of 1920, he put these articles in there, and he's saying, when you see the word called the Celtics, that ain't nothing but a language. When you see the words called Scott, the Gauls, the Britons, the Irishmen, the Italians, the Scots, these are all these folks with dark-skinned and woolly hair from the get-go. But afterwards, you know what happened, right? See, that's what we ever tell. But what people see talking about was already dark-skinned. Who was over there? Who's supposed to be over there? Let's take a look at that real quick there, brother. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's run to the book of, let's see what he's talking about that we can read that was over there. Let's run the book of Jasher for a minute. Well, who's he talking about? See, in the book of Jasher, it'll tell you exactly who was over there at the time, but then we go on and show you who started coming over there. But in the beginning, never was so. Let's look at the find out who was over there that had this dark complexion skin and was over the land. Then all of a sudden, here come Zora them that way. Let's see who was over there already, according to the Bible. In chapter, let's see, Brother Yagdai is written. Let's see who was over there in the land that we can read. We're going to look at the book of Jasher, and I'm looking for the Psalms of Japheth. On page number 8, can we talk about the Psalms of Japheth over there? This was, so now, here, this is what he's talking about. In Jubilees chapter 8, can we see what it says around by verse number, just before you see verse 25? I just want to get a couple lines, and I'm not going to deal with this but a minute. I just want to make sure we clear who's over that verse. What it says on Jubilees chapter 8, on page 45, just before it says 25. What did it say there, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Jubilee?
No, the book of, yeah, Jubilee, right. Page 45, chapter 8, verse 25. They got some writing. Read over 25 says what?
The book of Jubilee, chapter 8, verse 25 reads, Japheth's fortune, North Asia, Europe, and the five great lakes.
You see that? Japheth's fortune, North Asia, that means North Shem, Europe. So you see who portion that Europe is? You see who it belongs to? And the five great islands. So whatever the five big major spots over there, it belongs to Japheth peoples. And what did Yahweh say to Noah as he looked an eyeball to eyeball on that subject matter? He said something to He looked at out of the eyes of the mental spirit, and on page 48, verse 14, above 14 says what? 14 and 15. Now, remember, the five great islands of Europe is Japhetic's land. The five big major spots. So you just take your time, you find all the five big, it all belongs to Japhetic people. Now, Yahweh said something eyeball to eyeball to Noah, and what he said in 14, above 14 and verse 15.
The book of Jubilee, chapter 9, verse 14 and 15, read. Book of Jubilee 9, Noah blessed him. And thus the son of Noah divided unto their son in the presence of Noah their father. He bound them all by an oath, imprecating a curse on everyone that sought to seize the portion which had not fallen to them by their lot. Verse 15. They all said, so be it, so be it, for themselves and their sons forever throughout their generation to the day of judgment, which Yahweh shall judge them with the sword and with fire. For all the unclean wickedness of their errors, when they have filled the earth with transgression, uncleanness, fornication, and sin.
So he's saying this. See what he's saying? He said, if you're not a direct descendant of Japhetic peoples, the sons he had over there in Genesis 10, verse 6. Matter of fact, let's count his boys anyway. What's his boy's name in Genesis chapter 10? Let's see how many boys he got over there that we can read. You know, see, a lot of people have to go. See, a lot of his story, you know what they do? All they do is read the Bible and just you remember the program he said, why I gotta get this Bible, because the Bible is a weapon. He said, you don't know this Bible is a weapon. Yeah, see, and this is what these historians do. All the ones that doing all this researching, you know what they really do? They say they read this Bible and they just follow the trends of this Bible. And they come up with all the stuff that they come up with. And then you pass them on the back. But all they've done is read your Bible. That's all they've done, reading your Bible. I'll show you in a minute exactly what they do. They read your Bible, and then they make their move from your Bible. Because, like I said, again, like Raymond E. Kapp, now they found a big old stone over there around Nineveh. And now, it's amazing how they did this. Now, we got to think about what they did, and then it's in this book. Right now is a mountain about 300 foot up in air, feet up in air. It's about 100 some miles wide. I mean 100 feet wide. But they put the information behind the rock 150 feet up in the air. How did they do that back in the day? What? And then the drawing, that's why we get this book. This book are like the PDF of Elder Mitchell about a book. You know, you go on the PDF and bring it up and all that good stuff. And that's a good thing. But we got most of our notes, but not our books. But we taking notes on things that go way back there. But 150 feet up in the air is the story told about what they did. They wrote it. This is what we did. We went over there in 721, and we beat them down real good, and we taking them where we put them at. Okay, that's good. But you know, the Bible tell you where they put them at too. See? So we don't know the scholars today, they make a lot of things, but they go look for the writings to, what is it, enhance the Bible or contradict the Bible. I don't know that. But it's already written exactly where you at, where you went to, and everything else. But they just add a little more stuff to it. And that's a good thing. But we can see through when you sprang out from the Bible first, then you go do your research, and you take the Bible as you take your Bible as a, give me a word, brother Yahya, yes, give me a word, you take your Bible as what? When you're going trying to find where ancient things at. Give me a word, that brother Yahya, Israel.
say your foundation.
All right. I'll accept that, Brother Yagdar, for right now. Now, like, for example, here's a remix, this 209 book, it's a remix. But he redone it back over from this guy, E-O-I-N, McNeil. He done it in like 1920. But this guy remixed it over. He redone it back over in 2009. He rewrote the book. His name is Urmeekhan. And then he talks about his anthropologist. He deal with the skulls of man, anthropologist, Anthropology. And his name is Erikntrinkaus. He's a professor at the University of Missouri, at Washington University of Missouri. He's a professor over there. And he said he examined the same skull that who did, somebody had a skull. They done some forensics and they come up with this skull. Let me see, I'm gonna pull it out, then we get back to the Bible. What is his name? Let me see what his name is. And what's his name? His name is something that he well, I'll tell you what, I find his name tomorrow. Like I said, we don't line nothing up. We don't never have nothing lined up, but we don't know where we're going. We just sum everything up and just go from there. But in this book, it was some research done, and my fact is over there in the British London Museum as we speak. And they tell you exactly that they got two skulls over there. They said the first one is old Negro, old black Negro skull. And afterwards come the white skull, you know, the old Esau skull. So they said, yeah, it says, okay, you can go on your computer and pull it up, probably. The scientists revealed the face of a first European. So that's what we keep saying. We said it were a European real quick. The first you said white folks. No. Scientists revealed the face of a first European bones, fragment by the scientists. They was able to take the bone, and they found this over here in Romania, over there in Europe. They said the first European was dark-skinned with woolly hair. And afterwards come this these white skulls. Now, see, that's a big topic, that's the right. So when you say European, you know, your first thing you come on your mind is white folks. No. These scientists are letting you know, no. And he says right over there in the British Museum right now. Right in the British Museum are letting you know the first people that ever found the oldest skulls over there in Europe, they call it, is the Negro features. And you know, but here's the point. Tibetan people was over there first. Then guess who came over after that? Now, so we're getting ready to read now. Let's see who came over. Who was over there after that? Who was over there way back in that time? And like I said again, I know they be going into this Bible and tie this thing in. So the first people over there in Europe was black folks. And here it is, read out of the book of Jubilee. the five islands of the Japhetic people. But then we won't know what happened next. Now, we're going to find out what happened next, Brother Yahdai Israel. Let's take a look at that for a minute. Let's see who we read from this Bible. If we got in the records of somebody, let's go to the book of Jonah. And matter of fact, look up and give me a timeline on Jonah. Give me a timeline on Jonah. Jonah in the Bible. We look at 1, 2, 3 in that verse number 9. I need a timeline on Jonah, Brother Yahdai Israel. Can you help me out on a timeline on Jonah? You on the clock, come on.
I really don't have a timeline. I don't believe that's the end.
Okay, let me see if I find one of my old timelines on Jonah. Let me see, by the time you all be looking at 1, 2, and 3 and 9, I'll get a timeline on Jonah. I'm going to get a timeline on one old Jonah and what he was doing. Let's look at the 1:1 down to verse 3 and verse 9. Take your time on that. Just peek and see if I can give me a timeline on Jonah.
The book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse number 1, 2, and 3, and verse number 9, read. Book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, verse number 9. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. And the word of Yahweh came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for that wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh, and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh. Verse number 9, he said unto them, I am an Israelite, the little word Hebrew. I fear Yahweh, the Yahweh of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land.
Mm-hmm. What did Jonah say he was again, that Brother Yahweh? What did he say he was?
And he said unto them, I am an Israelite. Mm-hmm. The word Hebrew.
And what was he going? And what was he going at, Brother Yahweh? In verse 3, what was he trying to get to?
And Jonah paid his fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish.
Now that's where he was going. And now, what is the new word for Tarshish there, Brother Yahdai Israel? Let's go to the book of Romans. See, let me tell you something. You know, this is going to be a cakewalk when we get this thing together. So what's the new word for Tarshish? Remember, just like when they call them the ten tribes of the Indians. Oh, that's new words here, right? Yeah, that's not a word. The Indians ain't did nothing. They got that's a byword, a proverb name on them. In the Romans chapter 15, verse 27 says, what do we say is 15:24? What's the new name for Tarshish that we can read?
The book of Romans 15, verse 24 reads, whosoever I take my journey into Spain.
You see that, say right here, Spain. That is the new word for Tarshish. Spain, say right here. So out of Spain, you get the Spaniard peoples. But wait a minute, say right here. What do the Bible tell you how you deal with anything according to the Bible? How, what it tell you to do in Numbers 1:18-19? What is 16-18? What do it tell you to do? See right, 6 number 10. What it tell you to do? You see the word Spain? You got Spain, you got Portugal, and all that kind of stuff. But what do the Bible tell you to do? See, we're going to be ready to go when you know what to do. What do the Bible tell you got to do in 1:16-18 in the book of Numbers? What tell you both do that, Brother Yahdai Israel?
The book of Numbers chapter 1, verse number 16-18 reads, Numbers chapter 1, verse 16. He was the renown of the congregation princes of the tribes of their fathers. He is 1,000 in Israel. Verse 17. And Moses and Aaron took these men which are expressed by their name. They assembled all the congregation together day of the second month. They declared their pedigree after their families by the house of their fathers.
By the family, by the nation of their father, Cedric. It's no father named Spain or Spaniard, Cedric. That's Tarshish. And do you know who the father of Tarshish is? You know who the father of Tarshish is? So you see, they're going to Tarshish. Let's go to Genesis 10:6 and see if we find out where they're going. So remember one thing about it. Jonah was going to Tarshish. Look at WCC said. About 620-662 is about the time that that Jonah was going to do all that. Well, I hear you, WCC. I hear you good. But, okay, I'm looking at it wrong. 862. 800 BC, around about 862 BC. I'm sorry, I was looking at, I thought I seen the 6 there, WCC. Okay, I made a mistake. 862. So 862 BC, that's around time, and I'm bearing fine what you're saying now about finally getting me a little assistant around here if I can get me a book. So I'm checking you out right now. I give you the answer if you're right. Now, what you reading, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of Genesis.
Genesis. Well, we found out that that Tarshish is the correct pronunciation of Genesis 10. I want to know who Tarshish's father is. See, this is how you find out some people. They want to do the DNA and all that. Who is your father? That's him. Who is your father? Then that's who you is. Can we find the word Tarshish there anywhere in that 10:6 there, Brother Yagdai Israel? Can we find Tarshish anywhere? And who the father of Tarshish? Come on.
The book of Genesis, chapter 10. Pick up that verse number 1.
Well, pick up the verse around the Psalms of Jephthah. We're going looking for Tarshish. We're going to try to see if we find him somewhere in Genesis chapter 10 when it says the songs of Japheth. We're looking for what Jonah was going to. That's what we're going to. That's what we're looking for right there.
The book of Genesis chapter 10, verse number 2. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magad, Madia, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, and Tyre.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. I'm looking for Tarshish. Can I, like the preacher say, can I get a witness? I'm looking for Tarshish there, Brother Yagdai Israel.
Verse number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 3. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Raphi, Togarmah. Verse number 4. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish.
Ain't that something? Javan there, Cedar. So Tarshish belongs to Javon. And who is Javon daddy, Brother Yagdai Israel? Who is Javon daddy we can read?
The son of the Japheth.
Japheth, Javon, and Tarshish. That's the son, the father, and the grandfather. See, they live there, see, right? So they live there. Now, Jonah is in 862 B.C. He was going to Japhetic land, see, right? So now, he was going over there in 862 B.C. into Japhetic land. Now, besides to say they found the skull, or the oldest skull they found was a Negro skull, that you want to call it. And that was found in Europe. So the first people of Europe was Negroes. But here's the point, right? See, the toss-up is like this. We know Japhatic is the first people to go there. But what and Tarsus means they call it Day Spain. And look what it says in the book of Isaiah 66. Now keep that word Tarsus. Tarsus. That is one of them five great islands. Remember. How many songs did he have again? Come back and tell me again. And Genesis 10, how many songs did he have, did Japheth have? How many songs he got there? In 10:6, what he got? That he
Look up Genesis chapter 10, verse number 2. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Mega, Madaya,
3,
Javan,
4,
Tubal,
5,
Meshach, and Tyrus.
So how many sons did Japheth have there, bro? How many did he have?
Seven boys.
So he had seven boys, see, right? That mean, but in the five great islands, evidently a couple of them got to jump up in there with him, because it was five great spots over there. It's five great spots over there now. So there goes the seven names. So, you know, you got seven sons and five great islands. So, I mean, a couple of them boys have to double up in with their brothers. Because it's just five major spots over there. Two of the boys jump in there with him. And you know, your brothers, you jump in there and you do it together. That's the key. But then, what's Jonah doing going over there for? That's the part. What's Jonah doing going over there? What are you going over there for? Jonah not from the Japan people. What's he doing? What was he going over there for? Now I got to pull a rabbit out of the hat on that. Open the book, Brother Yahweh Israel. See how I pull this out. What was Jonah going over there in 862 for? Can we find out, is there anything that we can find out why was he going over there in 852? Can we find out anything? Did Jonah, when he was running from Yahweh, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. And you know, well, we'll get this game tomorrow. Yeah. Can you get in the location where Nineveh is, Brother Yahweh Israel? Can you find out where Nineveh is? Because Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go over there because of what reason? Where is Nineveh at that we can read? Nineveh. Where is Nineveh at that we can read that, Brother Yahweh Israel? So once we get everything all swept and burned and nice laid out, then we can get to do some good cooking, because we just don't want to, you know, got a couple brothers in class, they don't just read. Brother, you just read, but what you read? See, we want to make sure you know what you read. Well, once you just read up a bunch of verses, we want to make sure you clear that you know what you read. See, once we know what you read, this book will open up for you and he'll give you more. So where is Nineveh located at, Brother Yahweh Israel? Don't you know Southern Canaan? That's where it was at. They was over there in Nineveh. That's around by the, what you working with, Brother Yahweh Israel? We don't see nothing. We just wait till we hear. Nineveh. Where is that at? Where that located at?
I haven't seen it.
All right, well, we didn't worry about it. See, we don't know where they come, but that's all right. One thing about it. See, this is what we're saying, see, right? This is a big job. You know, who's going to 9416 song? Who's going to do it? We waiting? What is it saying, 9416?
The book of Psalms, chapter 94, verse number 16 reads, book of Psalms 94, verse number 16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers, who will stand up for me against the work of iniquity.
Okay. Who will do it? We waiting. And Now, Jonah was going over there in 662 B.C. Now, in 1 Kings, look what it got written in verse 22. 1 Kings 10:22.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 10, verse number 22 reads.
And 23.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23 reads. 1 Kings 10, verse 22. For the king had his seat, a navy of Tarshish, with the navy of Haran. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, ape, and peacock. 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom.
Now you see that? Now see that big, now see that? Now that's big talk right there. Now what? Now so that means King Solomon is the one opening his door to go over and Spain, see, right here? King Solomon. You know, the Canaanites, they was already going, they called, that blue word called Phoenicians. But Solomon got posted his thing and sent his boys up under that and then bumped them up. But that's no lesson. But you see here, that in 1000 B.C., Solomon had a ship or navy in Tarshish. That mean what? What that mean? The children of Israel was over there in what you call Spain, Portugal, ever since 1000 B.C. This man got a ship of navies over there. So what? So the skull you found, it could have been one of the tribes of the Israelite skull. They go, here it is in record that Solomon was over there. And Solomon is David's boy, tribe of Yada, Judah. So there goes Judah over there already in 1000 B.C. So Jonah knew where he was going. He was going over there to Spain, which is Tarshish, with his brothers at, because he didn't want to be going to Nineveh, mess around with them all, the Israelites that was wicked. So they were there. Tarshish, see, right? Now look what it says, what's going to happen. Now we go to Isaiah and show you what's going to happen. Tarshish, remember that? Tarshish is a polluted word called Spain. What you call Spain, Portugal, and all that old stuff. And we broke both of them names down over there in the book of Jasper. So if you miss a class, you miss a lot. So we're going to Isaiah 66 chapter, verse 19 and 20. Now listen, and listen to this right here. See, this is what it got written in Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 19 and 20. Look at this right here. Look what's written in Isaiah 66, verse 19 and 20. Now look at this thing right here. 19 and 20.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse number 19, verse 20 reads. With Isaiah 66, verse number 19. And I will set a sign among them. Will send those that escape of them unto the nation, to Tarshish, Hul, and Lud, that draw the boat to Tubal and Javan, to the island afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my greatness. They shall declare my greatness among the Gentiles. Verse 20, they shall bring all your brothers for an offering unto Yahweh of all nations, upon horses, chariots, and in litter, upon mules, upon swift beasts. My righteous mountain of Yahdah Judah, save Yahuwah. As the family of Israel, bring an offering in a clean vessel to the temple, the land of Yahuwah.
See that? So now he's going to prophesy that you over there, and guess what? If somebody else over there that haven't heard what they need to hear. So you see, Perez Judah is over there. And Zora Judah is over there. So both of y'all over there. But he said, now, you also going to go there, and I'm going to set a sign among them. Who? Six anointed camps of bosses of a true Israelite. And I will send them that escape from them unto Tarshish. See, that's Spain, see, right? So you've been over there all the time. So otherwise, you've been to Spain all the time. You was there all the time. You've been there on record. I'm just going to use the record. Here's 1000 B.C., and Isaiah talking about it, that you was over there. And do you know what James said? What did James say in 1:1? Do you know what James said? What did James say in 1:1? What did he say?
The book of James, chapter 1, verse 1 reads, book of James, chapter 1, verse 1. Yahweh, James, a servant of Yahweh the Father and of the Yahweh the Son, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad.
Okay. Peter 1:1. Where you at? Where you at? Peter 1:1. Where is the 12 tribes scattered at abroad? Where you at? Now this is 490. See you can't let brothers keep on hitting you up with this 1619 stuff and 1619 stuff and 1492 stuff. Man, this, do you see? You over there then, because you're 1,000 and million of people. You can't keep on getting hijacked, see, right? What's your reading, Brother Yagdai Israel?
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 1 reads, Peter, an apostle of Yahweh the Son, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Pelusium, and Bithynia.
You see that? Look at here for some study on the 609 account, DNA study of the nature, the DNA study of the nature on a nature history, natural history, N-A-T-U-R-A-L, natural history. The museum in London, and the museum in London, go on, you can print and pull up. The first modern Briton, is a dark-skinned black man. The first European that's called Britons over there in the museum is dark-skinned and black. But who could it be? Who could it be? Who rightfully is the Japhetic people. But you over there since 1000 B.C., and you're going to be over there when they say, I'm going to bring you back. So remember, Japhetic people look just like you. A lot of them got straight hair. A lot of them got woolly hair. And Zora, them look like you. And Perez, them look like you, Judah. So really, Esau, he in a package. He really all wrapped up. He don't know what to say. That's why they said, you come from Africa. That's the biggest lie I ever told. How could all you come from Africa? How could all you black folks come from Africa? And we just read when Tigris, this big historian, said, in 56 A.D., he wrote about a Swahili peoples over there in Great Britain. And he said, y'all were warriors over there, too. He said, look me up in my book on what I got to say. So now he's talking about in 56 A.D. up to 120. He said, you was already over in them land. But now we find out you was over there even before that. Because Paul said you were there. Then what did Paul say you was there? Where he was going? Let's go back to what Paul says in the book of Romans. Paul said you was there. Paul said, I'm going to visit you. So that means you've been there for a minute. Paul just wasn't just bumping his gums. Look what Paul says over here in 15:24. Now take it down to verse 26. Take it down. Let's see what he says in the 15th chapter, verse 24 down to verse 26. Watch what he says.
The book of Romans, chapter 15. Verse 24 through 26, read. Book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey to Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, to be brought on my way. There's a word by you. First, I'd be somewhat filled with your company. Verse 25. But now I go to Yahgar Judah, southern kingdom, to minister unto the saints. Verse 26. But it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints, which are at Yahgar Judah, southern kingdom.
You see that? That's all this over in what you call Europe, see, right? Paul was going way over there. As a matter of fact, let me pull it right out of that. Let's go to Acts chapter 14. See, right? Listen, you got to paint the picture. Six and all the cap, paint this picture. So when they bring up about the European, when you use the word European, what European? Your records will tell you that the Europeans were dark-skinned and woolly hair over there in the British Museum today. So when you use the word Europeans, all of a sudden you say, oh, white man, white woman. What do you mean, white man and white woman? Over takeover? Japanic people and the children of Israel. Paul is going on in there. You see? Paul is going, and he's looking for the children of Israel. Now here he is in the 14th chapter. Watch what Paul's saying. Listen to Paul talking talk. What do it say in Romans chapter 1, 5 through 8? Huh? What it says in Romans chapter 1, 5 through 8? What it says, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Book of Romans chapter 1, verse number 5 through 8 reads. Book of Romans chapter 1, verse 5. By whom we have received mercy, apostleship, for obedience to the covenant among all nations for his name. Verse 6. Among whom are you also the called of Yahweh the Son. Verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of Yahweh, called to be saints. Mercy to you and peace from Yahweh our Father and Yahweh the Son.
Mm-hmm. All the GCC, you was over in Rome, see, right? You was over in Rome. Paul was looking for you in Rome because Yahweh said this in the 9th chapter of Acts. What did he say? He said something. He said, look here. Let me tell you something, my man, my fear. You do what I tell you to do. And Acts chapter 9, look what he says in verse number 15.
The book of Acts 9, verse 15. And Yahweh said unto him, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentile king and the family of Israel.
You see that? So Paul's mission was to go hunt you and find you out. So here is, so Paul following instruction, here is in the 14th chapter. Now he's going looking for the children of Israel, but they got a Gentile mindset. So here is in Acts 14, look at the name you call. See, look at the name you call. See, you wasn't called Northern Kingdom. Now, you just not getting a hold to that as we bring it to Northern Kingdoms, we got your names, what you are, ruling and all. You wasn't called none of that yet. Boss of the Jews right putting your name on you. Look what you were doing before 96 A.D. Look what you was called. Acts 14, 1, 6, 8. Let's get down 19. We'll read a little bit. See if we can get out of it. Let's see what it says in Acts chapter 14. I'm be really looking at verse 19 real carefully, but we'll tell you what, that's all I'm going to get, 19, because I'm going to get some more. Let's see what it says in Acts 14, 1, 6, 8, and 19. What does it say, Brother Yahdai Israel?
Acts chapter 14, verse 1, verse 6, verse 8, verse number 19, you read. Acts chapter 14, verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went down together in the temple of Yahdai Judah. So spake that a great multitude both of Yahdai Judah, southern kingdom, and also of the Greeks, polluted for the northern kingdom, believed. Verse number 6. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra, Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region lying round about. Verse number 8. And there sat a certain man of at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Verse number 19. And there came thither certain of Yahdai Judah from Antioch and Iconium, persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, threw him out of the city, supposing he had been dead.
21.
Verse 21. And when they had taught the covenant to that city, that taught me, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch.
God, no. Man, you see where you at? You had a blood of the northern world. You was over there with Japhetic people. You had to hem them up and jack them up all good until you guarantee. Remember, Zorro was already over there. Then Perez of Judah came over there. And Paul, he wasn't looking for Zorro. He was looking for Perez. You see that? He wasn't looking for Zorro. So Zorro knew about you. Now, I got to pull a rabbit out of that. So he knew about you. Let me pull a rabbit out of that. Come on, Brother Yakadaya. Let's run to the book of, let's run to the King James Bible. Let's go to the missing book. Let me show you something. See? Oh, yeah, that's good stuff here. Let's run to the First Maccabees chapter 12, pick up verse 1. See? Let me tell you something, see, right? Until you get in with the six anointed camps, you know, listen, we got the answers. And we give it to you on the run, see, right? We give it to you, just popping it to you to understand one thing. One set knew all the time. One set went into captivity. One set of Judah did not. The northern kingdom, they just out of it. But the word gonna come from Perez, and that's why King James sent to Perez's side to go and get us straight. He went on, broke himself down, so well, let me go on and get what I need to work with. I know my father didn't do it because they still got the grudge against, you know, because we can read that he got the grudge, and I got the grudge against him, too. See, that's the point, you understand, see, right? See, anytime you think somebody's taking something from you, you always had that wicked spirit on you. Ain't nobody taking nothing from you. This is the hand of Yahweh that did that. It's that same thing about, oh, Esau and his five sons. The white man and the white woman think somebody's taking something from them. They're not taking nothing from you. That's the hand of Yahweh did it or done this to you, got you ass, you know, low down to the, you know, and got you as a 115 or the book of Ecclesiastes. This is Yahweh doing. So Yahweh got you as a 115, not us. Let's see what it says in Ecclesiastes 115. See, the white man and the white woman understand what Yahweh got written. He got it written in 115. And you got to recognize what he says in 115, what it says in 115.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 15. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanted cannot be numbered.
You see the man saying? He said, what's crooked cannot be made straight. Do you understand that? See, and we're going to read about Oliver Cromwell. We're going to read about Thomas Cromwell, what they did. These was Esau and what they did to you over in the northern world. Because you didn't have the right. See, we're going to bring up the research, but you can all read together on Oliver Cromwell and Thomas before that, a couple hundred years before that. What they have to do. 713 says what? Same book.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse number 13 reads, Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. Verse number 13. Consider the work of Yahweh. Who can make that straight, which he had made crooked?
Okay. See that? And consider the work of Yahweh. See, right? You see what? You see what the leaders try to do? Everybody want to rainbow this and rain. Listen, did you hear the man say it? Consider the work of Yahweh. What he made crooked, it cannot be straightened out, see, right? Do you hear the man saying? And he tell you in Romans chapter 9 something. See, you was doing good. Now you don't got on us. Well, now you not really WCC getting on you. I ain't really getting on you. I'm just doing some book. Not really getting on you, but you know it. You know, you tell the story as you get it to us. And the ninth chapter, look and say about the one he made crooked. He said in Romans chapter 9, look what he said in verse 22. Look what he said here. Look what he said here.
Chapter 9, number 22 reads. Book of Romans 9, verse 22. What if Yahweh willing to show his wrath and to make his power known and do it with much long suffering, the vessel of wrath fitted to the destruction?
Tailor-made to be destroyed. You see, a people, Yahweh says, have been made to, listen, WCC, that's just the way it is. The sons of Esau, the five sons of Esau, descendants, they was made to be destroyed. That's what you made for. See? I'll give one more ad there. In the 34th chapter, the seer, he prophesying about it. And the 34th chapter, and look what he says. He said in verse 5. 34 verse 5.
The book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. 34 verse 5 there. For Yahweh Israel. See, I know. But we still got to read the Bible. Because once we get everything lined up, we're going to be smooth sailing. Once we get everything lined up, where you can recognize these names in this book and everything else, and you can recognize old Zeppo when he's talking. You can recognize when Perez talking. You can recognize everybody talking by looking at this book. Then we know you're ready to go. In the 34th chapter where it says prophecy in verse number 5.
The book of Isaiah 34, verse number 5 reads, "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. The Holy shall come down upon Adumia, to do the word for Esau and his five sons, and upon the people of my curse to judge."
Should I say anything else? The people that was fitted for destruction goes. It got to be some spirit to push you to do all the stuff that you do. You told me even now. No, I'm going to leave it alone. Let's go back. I want to get back to First Maccabees. Now, what's it supposed to mean? Now, remember one thing, C. Ray. When you knew who you were, everybody knew who they were, but it got away from them, but a lot of people didn't know who they were. Look what they said when we go to 12th chapter, verse 1. Let's read a little bit and see what's going on. Let's see what kind of conversation going on here. 12, verse 1. We'll back away after this, brother. Y'all can die Israel. Pick up at 12, verse 1, start reading down a little bit. Let's see what's going on. Listen to this conversation right here.
The book of First Maccabees, chapter 12, verse number 1 reads, "And when chapter... So that the time served him, he chose certain men and sent them to Rome and renew the friendship that they had had with them." Verse number 2. He sent letters also to the Lacedaemonians and to other places for the same purpose. Verse 3.
Hold that point. But where is he going to? They're going where? They send them where, Brother Yahweh Israel?
And sent them to Rome.
So they're going to Rome to confirm some kind of some business in Rome to a people called the Lacedaemonians. Okay, good. And what happened in verse 3? Now keep that in mind. The Lacedaemonians, now Jonathan, that's tribe of Southern Kingdom. So they're doing some talk. Let's find what they're saying in verse 3. Tyrone.
Verse number 3. So they went to Rome and entered the Senate and said, Jonathan, the high priest, and the people of Yahweh Judah, send us unto you, to the end you should renew the friendship which you have with them and leave as in former times.
Wait a minute, Brother Yahweh Israel. Hold on, Brother Yahweh Israel. Not that I see some in this, but you see what Jonathan's doing? He said, you know, it's time to renew a friendship that you had with us, and they over there in Rome talking about a friendship. Now, you know, what does it say is in Jeremiah 50, verse 7?
Book of Jeremiah 50, verse number 7 reads, Book of Jeremiah, chapter 50, verse number 7. All that found them have devoured them, and their adversary said, you fear not, because they have sinned against Yahweh, the habitation of Judah, even Yahweh, the hope of their fathers.
He said the other nations, they always have been, they will never treat you right from the get-go. So see, right now, you got to put the thinking cap on now. Wait a minute now. Put the thinking cap on now. So Jonathan is sent into Rome to talk to the Laomonians about this once about a time ago of this friendship thing we once had. Keep this in your mind now. I hope the 69 account is catching wind to this. What happened next?
The book of First Book of Maccabees, chapter 12, verse number 4. Upon this, the Romans gave them letters to the governor of every place that they should bring them into the land of God peaceably. Verse number 5. Here's a copy of the letter which Jonathan wrote to the Laodamonians.
Hold that point. Who was he writing his letter to in Rome? To who? Now he's in Rome now. So he writing his letter to who? The Laomonians, see, right? So this letter is going to Rome. You remember we read in 1:5-8? So this letter is going to the people that's in Rome called Laomonians. So you see, can you stick with me? He's going to Rome, but who he's looking for over there in Rome is the Laomonians. And what does it say next?
Verse number 6.
Now hold on, Brother Yahdai Israel. Now watch yourself now. Watch yourself in verse 6 now.
Number 6. Jonathan, the high priest, and the elders of the nation, and the priest, and the other people of Yahdai Judah, and to the latest demonian, their brothers, send greetings.
Hate that assumption. They brothers send greetings. Wait a minute now. Over there. See, sometimes you might, have you ever, sometimes you go to one of these big dignitary places or whatever, and you see somebody you once know, but they kind of hide behind it. They don't know you or whatever. And they might be in the spot. And you say, hey, you know. But they'll try to play like they don't know. You know, I mean, one time ago, we went to a restaurant back in the days. You know, and brother was over there. He was over there with another nation here in the corner somewhere, skinning and grinning. We came in on, St. J. Paul did, Peter did over there when he came in on that Galatians. Let me that know. Time around again. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother Yahdai Israel.
Verse number 7. There was letters sent in time past unto Onesimus, the high priest, from Darius, who reigned in among you, to signify that you are our brothers, as copy here under written, as specified. Verse number 8. At which time Onesimus entreated the ambassador that was sent honorably and received the letter, wherein the declaration was made of the league and friendship. Verse number 9. Therefore we also, albeit we need none of these things, but that we have the righteous book of the scriptures in our hands to comfort us.
You hear them say it? I said, look here, we don't need none of that. When you first got in the door, we know who you were from the get-go. We don't need for you to bring nothing and let us toward who we are and who you are. It's just the point of it is, we know we got the same thing you got. Now who that talking wrong like that? In them big dignitary seats. Who that saying the Laomonians, who that saying in them great big seats? Wait a minute. We don't need you to confirm anything. You know, you went somewhere that way. You know that brother, but he don't know you. You know where they know who. Oh, my goodness. They know who you are. But remember, you just don't know who you are by being African-American, Negro, and color. Everybody didn't get caught up by not knowing that they are not, that are 2837. See, everybody didn't get caught up just. But a lot of them is waking up. They no longer Deuteronomy 28:37. What did it say, Brother Yagdai Israel?
Deuteronomy 28:37 read, "Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, for the Yahweh shall lead you."
Let me go back to that. Come back to here again. Let's paint this picture what we read now. And look here, we don't need you to bring that Bible over here to us and throw putting the finger on us. We don't need you to do that. Now they're saying, we don't need you to put that book on us. They gonna keep talking. Let's see what they say, Brother Yahdai Israel.
Verse number 10. "Have nevertheless attempted to send unto you for the renewing of brotherhood and friendship, as we should become strangers unto you all together. For there is a long time past since you sent unto us."
You see what's going on here? He said, again. He said, you know, we used to have this love together and we kind of renew this thing together. You don't got yourself in a pretty good position this is talking about in Rome. You know, Rome, is Rome in Europe? In Rome and all the parts over there? He said, look here. We came to the Senate House, and we know we're in Rome. But look here. But they knew what he was going to see, but the world that was sitting in them powerful positions said, yeah, we know about you. We know clearly about who you are. But it's been a breaking away from the brotherhood. They're talking about some brotherhood scene, right? What does it say?
Verse number 11. "We therefore at all time without ceasing, both in our feasts and other convenient days, do remember you and the sacrifice which we offer, that in our prayers, as reason is, and as it becometh us to think upon our brothers."
Ain't that something? He said, we remember, see, you know, a lot of times, a lot of brothers like to forget things. You know, you got a lot of brothers forget, like a brother might say, we told the brother, look here, brother, we know his name is the four letters YHWH, and who gonna take the assignment up to go and see if we find it right? He said, well, I go to the library and I hang around to the library and try to find the name. I say, good. That's what we want. We want brothers to step up. Now the brother, you go out there and stay in the library. He lay around the library, got the card, and he found it in writing, the name YHWH. And he brought it back. I said, that's a good thing. I said, you know, look for Israel, too. But the same token, we got the YHWH, YHDH, not the YHWH, YHDH in writing. You found the Judah, proper pronunciation of the name Judah. You got it? Good. Now we can use the YADH. So everything went good until they get the big head. See, you know the best of them. Why do you always get the big head? We lead you the right direction. We know that you have to do this sooner or later. So we just watch you and wipe our eyes. Because we already know you got to do according to, let's Jeremiah for a minute there, brother, y'all guys. Let me stop for a minute. See, we watch the best of them. We do all we can to get them on your feet. But we know that it's not going to work until you understand that what's got to be done according to the Bible, not according to me. See what's going to happen. So if you get a assignment to go do something, go and do it, and now you want to puff yourself up to my, well, I found, how you find something you can find back there in Genesis 29? The name was right back there in Genesis 29. Matter of fact, it was on the Babylonian, Babylonian tablets, is on the Persian tablet, all that good stuff, man. How you get yourself puffed up like that? Over here, because this got to happen. Jeremiah talks about it in 50, verse 33 and 34. How is this going to happen right here? How is the 50, verse 33 and 34 got going to have to happen? How did it happen? Let's see what it says, 50, 33 and 34.
The book of Jeremiah 50, verse 33, verse 34 reads, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse number 33. The Savior Yahweh of hosts, the family of Israel, northern kingdom, and the family of Yahweh Judah were oppressed together. And all that took them captive held them fast. They refused to let them go. Verse 34. Their Redeemer is strong. Yahweh of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and be quiet the inhabitants of Babylon.
Yeah, we're going on and bag up the 50 and read 4 and 5. So this is how it got to happen. Now, how is this going to happen? Do you? How is this 50 verse 4 and 5 going to work? Tell me. Because when you get assignment, then all of a sudden now, you puffed up to my you won't find something. And you know, the seer had to put, to make it work, you got to put the elders together. Elders got to put the fathers together. The fathers got to put the mothers together. The mothers got to put the children together. That's just the way it is. So when you're shown through Yahweh what to do and you end up coming up with it, why all of a sudden now you won't be puffed up like this belongs to you? Well, you know that's not right. 50 verse 4 and 5.
The book of Jeremiah 50, verse 4 and verse number 5 reads, Jeremiah 50, verse 4. In those days, and at that time, saith Yahweh, the family of Israel, northern kingdom shall come. They and the family of Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom together, mourning and weeping. They shall go and seek Yahweh, their Yahweh. Verse 5. They shall ask the way of Yahweh Judah, with their faces thitherward, saying, come, let us join ourselves to Yahweh in a perpetual covenant. In a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten.
You see it? So you are getting in on a perpetual covenant. Yahweh is a covenant keeper. So if you give one people the covenant, you got to obey the covenant. You know, you might hate the moderator of a covenant, but you got to obey who is opening his books up to you, and who opened the books up is the Sixth Anointed Council, the voice of the true Israelite. Is that correct? What does WCC say?
Yeah, that's correct, Seal.
Well, if that's correct, then what was that? You knew somebody got to open these books up. Who opened these books up? And bringing you to understand how to properly read the first Maccabees chapter 12, they're doing a lot of good talking over there. He said, look, we don't need nothing. Well, we know who you are. See, I'm saying, see, right? Come on back to First Maccabees. Time to ride again, Brother Yahdai Israel. So back to Maccabees, First Maccabees. Let's get back on this conversation. So let me find out that they say, okay, but they look at it, bro. You remember when we was growing up as key Bobbies, we all made the feast days. We all skinned and grinned. You remember that? See, one of these peoples, whoever they from, they trying to act like they don't forgot this thing. They got the records, but they want to act like they in their position that they can't remember. But they say, yeah, we remember. We know what's happening. He's going to make them come clean. What happened, Nation? What verse are we in right now? Verse 11 again. Read 11 again, make it sound good.
The book of First Maccabees 12, verse number 11. We just pray at all times without ceasing, both in our feasts and other convenient days, to remember you in the sacrifice which we offer, and in our prayers, as reason is, and as it becometh us to think upon our brothers.
Verse number 12.
We are right glad of your honor. Verse 13. That's why I said we have had great trouble and wars on every side, for so much as the kings that are round about us have fought against us. Verse 14. Howbeit we would not be troublesome unto you, nor to others of our confederates and friends in these wars. Verse 15. For we have help from heaven that secured us, so that we are delivered from our enemies, and our enemies are brought underfoot. Verse 16. For this cause we chose Numinus, the son of Antiochus, and Antipater, the son of Jason, and sent him unto the Romans to renew the enmity that we had with them, the former league. Verse 17. We command them also to go unto you and to salute you, deliver you our letters concerning the renewing of our brotherhood. Verse 18. Therefore now you shall do well to give us an answer thereto. Verse 19. This is a copy of the letter which Onesimus sent. Verse 20. Arius, king of the Lacedaemonians, to Onesimus, the high priest, greetings. Verse 21. If it is found in writing that the Lacedaemonians and Yagdai Judah, our brothers, that they are of the stock of Abraham.
Ain't that something? What position he got himself in verse 20? What was he sitting at him in verse 20? See, a lot of times, you know, I went to, I can tell you about the restaurant. I even went to a couple places downtown. I said, brother, I knew you, bro. You know, he's proper talking to this day. I mean, get on that. Verse 20 and 21.
The book of 1 Maccabees 12, verse 20. Arius, king of the Lacedaemonians, to Onesimus, the high priest, greeting. Verse 21. It is found in writing that the Lacedaemonians and Yagdai Judah are brothers, that they are of the stock of Abraham.
You see this book? You see what he's saying? So you see, but they were king. See, you know, they always tell you that you ain't did nothing. You was over there naked. All he got in the 1619 history. This ain't got nothing to do with no Africa. And there you go, kings over here. You kings over there in Europe, see, right? Now, who are these kings in over there in Europe? Did you ever read your history? You read it wrong. They say you ain't nothing. But here they're writing that he was writing. People in Rome was all in the big dignitary boys in Rome, mercenaries. Then he said, oh, by the way, let's stop off and over and see some of these kings over here in Europe, Japhetic land. King, see, right? He said, hey, king. And you know, Onesimus, they're talking about, you know, back in the days when we used to always meet the same place and you know, talk that good talk. What happened to that? He responded back. He said, yeah, I know. He said, you know, I know who I am. I know that we are both from the stock of Abraham. That means the bloodline of Abraham, see, right? The kings over there in Europe is from the bloodline of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Bloodline, not appointed. Bloodline, the stock means a bloodline. Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the Lacedaemonians, which you're going to find out is only another word for the Spartans. You know, you watch the old peace movie called Spartan 300. That's another word for Lacedaemonians. You watch the Spartan 300 and you watch the JFAT playing every role. They playing your role. This is the Spartan scene, right? You know that movie called the Spartan 300? And you paying your money to watch somebody else do something, and that was your kinfolk doing something. Again, I should play music the rest of the night. The Spartan 300. That's the Lemonian scene right here. The Spartan 300 movie. You go to on your computer and put the Spartan. Only thing about it, they don't have you playing the part. They are taking your identity, and you ain't got nothing to say about it, period. Because you don't know nothing to say about it. But you got a ministry that know all about it, know who you are, who they are, and know how it's going to turn out. It's up to you to obey when the six anointed camps come present before you. Brother Yahdai Israel, we're going to leave it like that. We're going to leave that right there. And next time they watch the Spartan 300 movie, understand that's the Lamanites, and which is the stock of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Now, you watch the movie a little bit better now, won't you? You said that's, but then you'll find out you were fighting against your brothers. That's where you keep losing it. And you're fighting against your brothers that have been misled. Them battles you had with weak in you is when you're fighting against your brother. Japheth wasn't even in the picture. They done a 3:48, and we'll close out in 1 Maccabees 3:48. This is all they have did, see, right? This is all they have did was 1 Maccabees 3:48 on you. That's what they did. What they do in Maccabees 3:48?
First book of Maccabees 3, verse 48 reads, laid open the book of the Torah instructions, wherein the five sons of Esau has sought to paint the likeness of their images.
That's all they have did. When we start to read about Oliver Cromwell, Thomas Cromwell, C-H-O-M-W-E-L-L. What did he do over there in Europe? What did he do over there in Japhetic land? When you find out what he did, what did Oliver do? What do Thomas do? Put these people in your computer and look what they are did to you, see, right? It's ready, right? It's right there for you now. Find out what they did. And you'll say, my. Then you understand what Yahweh got written. What he made crooked cannot be straightened out. But you're going to try to straighten it out, huh? More power to you. Brother Yahdai Israel, until we get the special edition called Thursday evening, put your clothes behind that. Come on.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. Love the way it's rolling out. See Israel, I see right. Rework to the four corners of the globe. Praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What it prophesies in Genesis, you're going to be kings and queens. Kings and princes, not no queens. Kings and princes. See, that queen word come from that's an Egyptian, that's Egyptian mess of that stuff. Yahweh ain't made no queen. Yahweh, children of Israel, they didn't have no queen. They have princes. Princess, not no queens. That's again, that's Ham teaching. This is my queen. No. Children of Israel, look in the Bible. You look in the Bible all day long and find out where they call the women's queens in the Bible. You ain't gonna find not one. Not one queen, see, right? Because that's their word. This is my queen here. Then I already know the end there, you're teaching them women no direction. Because the children of Israel did not put queens, no queen. That come from the sons of Ham, and then the sons of Japheth picked up from Ham on this queen stuff. That's another lesson. Leave that here. All right, we're going to find out y'all to get close to the state, and we're going to bring the mothers in. We're just going to talk to the mothers and see what the mothers got to say. They have something to say to you. We'll find out y'all and bring it back here and see. What the closing statement is on our air. What are you saying, WCC? Seer, the elder will be mute. you ain't going to say what you said, and we got to mute somebody. Is that right? You going to mute the elder? Well, what can I say? Well, one thing about it, he on that big old broadcast. He on that big old broadcast in 3 more minutes, and then if he got something to say, he'll say it on that. But this is your radio station. You do what you want to do. You going to mute our elder? No power to you. Let's even go find the mothers then. See, you know the best part of this broadcast is when the mothers speak to me. You know what I get the joy out of? When the mothers speak. Because the mothers, they got the same spirit on them ever since I know them. Same spirit. I ain't never had to ask the mother, hey, what kind of spirit you got on you? The mother's not a backbiter, not a murmur, they're not complainers. They're all about me out where I see you right. And you take heed to listen to the mothers. And we're going to bring the mothers in and see if they got to tell this old national audience. So we're going to find the mothers out of Camp 1. Remember, we got mothers in all Camp 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But so happened we're dealing with mothers out of Camp 1. And we're going to bring the mothers out of Camp 1. And they're going to say something to you. What they going to say? We don't know in a minute. We're all here together. We don't rehearse nothing. So we're going to find Mother Z. We're going to bring Mother Z in, and she's going to get in that microphone and talk to this national audience. But I'm going to meet and greet the mothers out of Camp 1 with a loud voice saying, Mother Z, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh be to their feet, right?
Yahweh bless and keep you, dear Israel, Araya seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Mother Z. Well, Mother Z, we don't say it a whole lot. And we know Yahweh put something on you to tell his old national audience. So whatever you got to say to them, you got the flow, you got the clock. Take your time and come out.
Well, I'm just going to read for the national audience tonight just a verse in Psalms 122. And that said to them, you know, that you have to learn to do the Torah instructions, the first 5 books of Moses, the Torah instructions, so you can have some type of relationship. Learn how to learn the first 5 books of the Torah instructions. Keep the Sabbath and call him by his name so you have some type of connection with Yahweh. And I'm going to read Psalms 120, starting at verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Yahweh, and he heard me. Verse 2, he delivered my soul. Deliver my soul, O Yahweh, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. Verse 3, what shall be given unto you? Or what shall be done unto you, the false tongue, sharp arrows of the mighty, which mighty will cause of joy, I can't pronounce that too well. Verse 5, Who is me that I sojourn to Michael, that I dwell in the Kedar? My soul have long dwelled with him that hate peace. Verse 7, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And I just say, hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
That's Mother Z. See, one thing about it, see, right? One thing about it. We here to serve. We here to serve. But until you understand that, okay, folks, out. Tomorrow, be getting ready to make Yahweh mad at you. Because the ones that know this, that you're going to pick up a can of cranberry sauce. You're going to put the cranberry sauce in your hand. You know what that represents? That represents the blood of your people's northern kingdom destroyed. They blood. Then you're going to make some dressing. You know what dressing is? That's the burial of the 10 million tribes of their burial. The big graves, big open graves, 10 million tribes. Not Indians, polluted for 10 tribes of Israel. Then you're looking for that turkey. The turkey is you. You is the slaughtered turkey. The turkey, the grave, and your blood. So when you slap down on that turkey dressing and cranberry sauce, that's the blood of your forefathers and mothers. That's the grave that they dig the big hole. They just pack them in like dressing. You know how dressing laid all across? They just roll you in them holes. They just push you in them holes. And all the big dignitaries say, look here, y'all got so happy. Y'all want to celebrate it? No, we just going to do it once a year. Don't get so happy on what you did. They got happy. They want to have a celebration of what? Delivering you up, see, right? And your blood spirit was spilled all over the place, everywhere. That's called the dressing. The dressing is the grave for you. The turkey is you. And the cranberry sauce is your blood. But you don't get off into it. I've been doing it. My mama do it. My granddaddy did. They did. I know. But the time gonna run out, see, right? Nobody celebrates what happened when the Twin Towers fell down, when all types of people lost their life. Nobody celebrates, they call it Holocaust. Nobody celebrates when over there in China, when the water came up on them and knocked them all out and knocked their houses and took them out. But you know what you do? You celebrate every kick in the rear that's on the table. You celebrate it and love doing it. You set up vacations around the massacre of your peoples. Huh? Massacre of your peoples. They've got another wicked name upon them called Indians. They're not Indians, see, right? Them is the 10 northern tribes by name. They spread out all over the known world. That's called America, with the second land of Shem. And then they went into, they land behind the tree. They wait till you had your green, but they had their feast day wrong now. Green herbs or green corn feast. They knew that you was dragging them up, eating them up real good. You feeling real good. Then you went into your tents. Mothers, child, babies, suckling babies. And then you hear a loud voice that, come out of there. And you got scared. You want to come out. You know what it is? Torture with fire and still shot it. Everybody run, come out them tents, they shot them up. They shot them up. Death, see, Roy. Blood was running everywhere. And so we're going to do with all these bodies. We're going to make them dig a big hole. A big, wide hole. And just push them off in there. Cut their heads off. And the heads that we didn't shoot off, we used for soccer ball. See, right here. But then you can go right around. And, you go to now any place. Everybody happy. They go to Curtis Chain. Everybody got a meal for you. Here, Thanksgiving. Here, skinny and grinning. The big dignitaries know this is the worstest time of your brothers than any. But they say, you don't know nothing. You still a Christian and don't know nothing. And you can do it tomorrow. Business grows everywhere tomorrow. Everybody's going to be cutting the turkey. They're going to have a football game on call of Indians and the Cowboys. The Indians is the 10 Northern Tribes. The Cowboys is the sons of Esau. That's what you'll be eating your turkey, watching the Indians and Cowboys, which is when hopefully they'll say, and the cowboy whooped the Indian, like we did on the celebration. But you're going to do it. We're going to do it. That's why I see a watch you on the pages of books. And my. Degrees on the wall. Don't understand. This is the worst day for your forefathers and mothers. And so I'm going to tell you. Oh, man. You celebrating that? Of our destruction? I mean, killed us up. Women, children, babies. Sleeping in your tent. If you didn't come out, they shot, burnt your tent off. If you come right out, they were shooting you, put, building you up on a relation. On the day you get ready to celebrate tomorrow, knock yourself out. We're going to find the second mother out of Camp 1, and we're going to see what mother he got to say. We're going to see what mother he got to say, but when you meet the mother with a loud voice, you say, mother he, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh bless you, that's Israel.
Yahweh bless you, Israel.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mother, they said knowledge is power. We try to tell them that it's written in your records. Now you can ask your phone what happened on this day. And they'll tell you this day that the Indian got slaughtered. But they don't tell you the Indian is your forefathers and mothers called the children of Israel, $10 drug. They won't tell you that part. They say in the name of Jesus, we destroyed you. They change your name, they change your pictures, and then they, oh my goodness. Mother, look ready, get rid of that microphone, and whatever you want to tell this old national order, I mean, it's packed too. 112,600 plus is in the room. Still, they trying to get in the room. And some more. But whatever you got to tell them, get in the microphone and take your time. You're on the clock. Come on.
Okay, I'm reading Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. And it reads, the hands of the Yahweh was up on me and carried me out in the spirit of the Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh, Yahweh, thus knowest. Verse 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the words of the Yahweh. Thus said the Yahweh unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay fine upon you, and will bring a flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bone come together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, this sine wheel, I can't see it right, and this blood came up on them, and the skin covered them a blood, but there was no breath in him. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto this, the wind, prophesy son of man, and said to the wind, thus said the Yahweh, come forth, O wind, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, and exceeding great army. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole family of Israel. Behold, they are our bones, the whole family of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus said the Yahweh, behold, my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you unto the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up out of your grave, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, Yahweh, have spoken it and performed it, said the Yahweh. So I would say this said, Yahweh, the grave is talking about brung him from not understanding to understand. When he said he brung him up out the grave, he brung him up to so that they could understand and live when he put the spirit in them, they live. So when Yahweh put the spirit in us, we should be able to understand his word and be able to tell other people about his word. And see, this is coming. This thing gonna come to us. This thing come to us in the time when Yahweh the Son come. In Matthew 24:31 says, and he shall send his ministering spirit with a great sound of trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the ends of heaven unto the other. 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. 24, 30 and 31. It says, and he shall send his ministering spirits with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect four winds from the ends of the heaven, ends of heaven to the other. So now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and putting forth leaves, you know that summer is coming. It's not. So we know that this thing is coming now. It's when the sun comes. He put the spirit in you. So the spirit is what leads you and guides you. So in order for us to get this spirit, we have to want this spirit. So we have to go into the temple in order to learn the thing, how to get the spirit, and the thing that we should do once we get it to be for Yahweh to be seen over us. And I say, Hallelujah.
That was excellent. That's right. And see, and we don't know when they got the spirit of, that Yahweh got in his Bible. We don't know it. Because certain things just drop off of you, like you taking your coat off and dropping it down on the bed or something. That's how they drop off. We know when you're ready. We know the move that you'll make when you're ready. We know when Yahweh is dealing with you. We do know. Certain things you do, we all can read together. And we'll know it. That was excellent, Mother E, Mother Z. That was excellent. Now, we got one more mother here out of Camp One. And we're going to bring Mother D up Israel in. We're going to see what she got to say. So when you meet the mothers out of Camp One, Mother D F Israel, tribe of Yahweh Judah. Yahweh be there, see right.
Yahweh bless you, seer Israel of Seroa. Hallelujah.
You know we have heard two of the mothers, your colleagues, and they gave pretty good testimonies. See, one thing about it, I don't know what kind of spirit the mothers are, all three of the mothers. So now we're going to bring you in and get in that microphone. And it's fine what you got to tell this national audience, huh? Because three is serious. See, in the Bible, when somebody said three times, it's serious, see, right? That's what it tells you. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, for the third time, but if you love me, Peter, feed them Israelites. And there you go right there. Mother D.F. Israel, the world listen. You on the clock. Come on.
Well, I want to talk on a little bit about the Torah instruction. I'm going to start in Exodus 20, and I'm going to be doing some skipping. So I'm going to start at verse 20. And Yahweh spake all these words, saying, verse 2, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, which shall brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3. Thou shalt have no other false Yahweh before me. Verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, am a jealous Yahweh, visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my Torah instruction. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh, your Yahweh, in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guilty that takes his name in vain. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it righteous. Verse 9. 6 days shall you labor and do all your works. Verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Yahweh. If thou shalt not do, I can't see it. I want to start off. Verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Yahweh. In it you shall not do any work. You, nor your sons, nor your daughters, your manservants, nor your maidservants, neither the cattle, nor the stranger, that is within the gates. Okay, verse 11. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them, and rested the 7 day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay, verses 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh, your Yahweh, gives you. Verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. 15. Thou shalt not steal. 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. 17. Thou shalt not cover your neighbor's house. Thou shalt not cover your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor. Okay, verse 19. And they said unto Moses, speak you with us, and we will hear. But let us not, and we will hear, but let not Yahweh speak with us, lest we die. Verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for Yahweh is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, that you sin not. Okay, now I want to go to Proverbs chapter six, verse 16. These 6 things do Yahweh hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18, a mind that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to do mischief. 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brothers. For the Torah instruction is a lamp, and the Torah instruction is light, and reproof and instruction are the way of life. Okay, I want to read Psalms 24, verses 8. Our help is in the name of Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
That's Mother D. F. Israel. We got a couple more minutes left. That's what it's all about. I mean, the pleasure of hearing the mother. That's right. I enjoy that part more than I enjoy on what we are laying the foundation. But one thing about it, all of it is blending, going to blend in together. Let's get a couple verses in there and a closing statement there, Mother E. Let's run to the book of Baruch. Let's look at Baruch 1, 2, and 3 in the closing statement. What is saying Baruch 1, 2, and 3 in the closing statement? And Mother D.F. Israel had me 4, 5, and 6 in the closing statement. Let's see what it's saying Baruch chapter 4, 1, 2, and 3. Mother E., what is saying Baruch? We're going to Baruch chapter 4, Baruch chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. And Mother D.F. Israel had me 4, 5, and 6, and we'll close it right there. Let's see what it says. Come on.
Okay. He said Baruch chapter 4.
Yes, ma'am. 1, 2, and 3, and a closing statement. What does it say? Chapter 4, 1, 2, 3, more GF Israel, have me 4, 5, and 6 in the closing statement. Let's see what's going on. Let's see what he told old Baruch. Come on.
The book of Baruch, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, verse 1. This is the book of the Torah instruction of Yahweh, and the Torah instruction that endures forever. All they that keep it shall come to life, but such as need it shall die. Verse 2. Turn thee, O Israel, and take hold of it. Walk in the presence of the light thereof, that thou mayest be illuminated. Verse 3. Give not thine honor to another, nor the things that are profitable unto thee to a strange place.
He said, don't do it. It's just strange stuff you get ready to do tomorrow. He said, children of Israel, don't do that. Don't keep on fattening their pockets up on the death of your forefathers and mother. Don't do it. Now they say, and you're going to go do it. You're going to go hook, line, and sink on this one, and you're going to go right into that Christmas. Close the thing, what you got there, mother? Mother, what you closing on?
I'm gonna close in Psalms 100. Make a drop of laws unto the Yahweh, all ye land. Serve the Yahweh with gladness, and come before his presence with thanks. Know ye that the Yahweh, he is Yahweh, he that had made us, and not we ourselves. Ye are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving, and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Yahweh is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
All right. Excellent. That's excellent. Mother D of Israel, 4, 5, and 6 in the closing statement. You on the clock. Come on. Baruch, chapter 4, verse 4, 5, and 6. Mother D of Israel, one of the mothers out of camp 1, 4, 5, and 6. The world is going to come out.
Baruch chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. O Israel, happy are we, for things that are pleasing to Yahweh are made known unto us. Verse 5. Be of good cheer, my people, the memorial of Israel. Verse 6. You were sold to the nations for your destruction, but because you moved Yahweh to wrath, you were delivered unto the enemy.
So you see that? So you see why you're in captivity? Because you don't want to do nothing man's saying. And you still don't want to do it. You don't want no prejudice. You don't keep no Sabbath day, no feast day. You're doing everything straight in their hand. You're still doing the same thing. And you'll get the same result. Mother, be of Israel. Closing statements. All yours. Take your time. Come on.
Psalms 37, verses 3. I'm going to start at. Trust in Yahweh and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and truly you shall be fed. Verse 4. Delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he shall give you the desires of thy mind. Verse 5. Commit your way unto Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mother D of Israel. That's Mother E. That's Mother Z. The Earth Lead teacher out of Camp 1. The El teacher, Brother Yahdai Israel. And you also heard the El. But we come to you humble. We're showing you what the Bible says. See, right, the reason you in captivity, because you sold yourself to do contrary to the Bible like you're going to do today. You give a bad for them. That is contrary to the Bible. Then you get through with that. You're going straight off into getting ready for this other thing with the Christmas lights. That's contrary to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You heard yourself, and everybody come in contact with you. Read what you understand. Read you in captivity because you provoke him to wrath by doing everything contrary to his Bible. You don't want to wear no brains. You don't want to obey the covenant of Yahuwah. You want to be a solo. You don't keep no Sabbath day, no feast day. You're a backbiter, murmur, complainer. Listen, you're going to lose. Can you up front? You're going to lose. But if you get in where you've been in at, you're going to win. Remember, you got the door open for 319 of Acts to repent. All you got to do is repent. The other nations is not going to repent. But if you're not of the other nations, they're going to take it all the way in. Are you going to follow them all the way in? That's up to you. But I know one thing, we're going to tell you what the man's saying. And he's going to tell you in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. You got my name right, but I never knew you. Because I told you to do one thing. Keep my Torah instruction. And my Torah instruction is not grievous to you. So remember one thing. Torah instruction is to obey what's written, not what they got written on the table.
After that good doctor is gone, there'll never be another black Messiah unless we create him.
Well, I don't know about that, WCC. You're going to lose this round. This is the one round you're going to lose. You know why? That is the way it is. We're going to lose. You're going to lose this round. Because we're going to stay up on the four-letter man, YHWH. So until we meet again on a special edition called Thursday evening.
After that good doctor is gone, there'll never be another black Messiah unless we create him.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Voices of the true Israelites gonna say a whole lot, and we're gonna wake up our people that want it, that wants to be helped. And when you're on their feet, we're gonna come looking for you. So until we meet again, Yahuwah be with you all from all the mothers, all the sisters, all the brothers. It's in the six anointed camps. The one that keeps the covenant, Yahuwah be with you all.
And it's not even on their conscience when they claim or when they perceive that the Bible is talking about them. Every time, at least in the New Testament, every time it talks about Israelites and their salvation and being brought back to the land. And also, heads up, all those Old Testament books and prophecies and prophets, most of those things haven't happened yet. And you won't even realize that unless you realize who Israelites really are. And hopefully you can get some knowledge and understanding from them, because who knows them better than themselves? And who can understand the Bible better than them? No one. Because, for one, who was the Bible written by? Them. Who was it written for? Them. The Bible doesn't belong to all of us. It belongs to them. And who are they? They're the black people.
That's it, Joe.
And it's not even on their conscience when they claim or when they perceive that the Bible is talking about them. Every time, at least in the New Testament, every time it talks about Israelites and their salvation and being brought back to the land. And also, heads up, all those Old Testament books and prophecies and prophets, most of those things haven't happened yet. And you won't even realize that unless you realize who Israelites really are. And hopefully you can get some knowledge and understanding from them, because who knows them better than themselves? And who can understand the Bible better than them? No one. Because, for one, who was the Bible written by? Them. Who was it written for? Them. The Bible doesn't belong to all of us. It belongs to them. And who are they? They're the black people. And it's not even on their conscience when they claim or when they perceive that the Bible is talking about them. Every time, at least in the New Testament, every time it talks about Israelites and their salvation and being brought back to the land. And also, heads up, all those Old Testament books and prophecies and prophets, most of those things haven't happened yet. And you won't even realize that unless you realize who Israelites really are. And hopefully you can get some knowledge and understanding from them, because who knows them better than themselves? And who can understand the Bible better than them? No one. Because, for one, who was the Bible written by? Them. Who was it written for? Them. The Bible doesn't belong to all of us. It belongs to them. And who are they? They're the black people.
Very good, WCC.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
We're polishing up our act.